Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
What's happening, y'all? This is Todd Wilson with another episode of Elevate Your Game. Today, we have former Division I player, coach, businessman, player developer, Mr. Justice Bartley.
Man, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, and we got, you know, a nice comfortable seats.
Yeah, y'all see, we upgraded the studio a little bit. We got the comfortable, nice recliners back. We lowered the table. I don't know if you guys see it, Karina, you got to zoom in. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we'll post a picture, man. We got this nice little table. Got the NBA Jam up. And today we have our new refrigerator with some poppy. Shouts out Kavu Ventures for blessing us with some poppy. If y'all don't know about this drink, y'all.
Yeah,
it tastes out. Just like you. Soda, but it only has 5 grams of sugar. And it has prebiotics in it. Smacking. So... thank you, man. We like to start this show off with the Wall of Hoop movies. Your favorite hoop movie Yes. of all time and why?
Yes, so mine is More Than a Game. I wouldn't say it's the first basketball movie that I've seen, but I just remember it from start to finish, man. Like, it was something that stood out to me. It was like a real documentary, almost like getting a behind the scenes look on the next up and coming star, you know, of the game. And of course, yeah, they had a fire album that dropped with it too.
They did. It's arguable that Forever is the greatest collab of all time. People say that.
Exactly. I'm saying, hey, this gotta be somebody's top five, man. So yeah, this is definitely my favorite.
No, I think this is the first time this has been chosen. It speaks to the generation. It speaks to that special team led by LeBron, and man, all of them are still doing their thing too, man.
A couple
of them coaching and doing other play pro for a long time, whatever it is.
Hey, I'm curious to know if they're going to come out with a part two, you know, just because there's so much has happened.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they could spin it, you know, any kind of way they can. He's got his own production company.
His hands are in anything, everything, exactly. Everything. So, when did you fall in love with basketball?
Man, from as early as I can remember. I inherited all the great things that came with the game, as far as like being around like the right people and my dad, man. Like, you know, my dad's been on your show before. I fell in love with this game from before I could walk, you know. Yeah. So yeah, it was just amazing, you know. Being in Atlanta at the time, all I can remember is going to games constantly, you know, being on the court. Some of what you guys see, like with the little kids running around the court, yeah, like that was me too. So, yeah, I love this game, man. It was perfect.
That's awesome. And so growing up in the game with someone who was heavily involved in the game in Atlanta, when Atlanta was – that's when it kind of kicked off when you were growing up, right?
People talk about this before, but the symmetry between hip-hop and basketball. So think about Atlanta at that time, like early 2000s, like, yeah, the scene was lit. So my dad, I remember him running like Nike Pro City in Atlanta, and they would have all kinds of celebrities, artists pull up and play. They had pros come through, and that was just great. And for me, I was fortunate enough to just being around a lot of high quality high school players.
Yeah.
So I remember seeing like Randolph Morris and Justin Holland and Maya Moore, Lou Will. Like, it was like, yeah, at that time, man, it was like, yo, like, this is the place to be. You have the gyms packed, everyone's sold out, or maybe it's too sold out, so you have to move the game to a different place. Yeah, so it was electric, man, for sure. That was a perfect time for me.
That's awesome. And when did you start taking the game seriously? When did you recognize that, you know, you've been around it and now you have to put the work in? When did that happen for you?
Yeah, no, this is really where the story, like, truly begins. I remember my 12th birthday, my dad didn't let me tell him beforehand that I wanted to take it seriously. He told me to wait, but I remember my 12th birthday, the only present that I wanted was for my dad to start working with me. And I told him like that was the decision that I wanted to take this game to another level. I hit growth spurts from, I think started when I was 10, and every year I would like, you know, my shoe size would increase. Like that's how many times I kept growing, you know? So when I was 12, I was wearing a 12, and that's when things like really took off for me. And I was involved in like AAU, we would have workouts, like after school, before the AAU practices, before like the school team practices. And at the time, that was, I want to say like the second or third year with my dad being at Auburn, being an assistant there. So my journey even before that was just through the lens of like constantly being around the game of basketball. Like I would be going, man, I remember going to a gym somewhere, it felt like the middle of nowhere in Georgia. And my dad was recruiting somebody by the name of Kentavious Caldwell. Mm. So this was before he added the Pope, right? So I remember KCP like talking to my dad for the game and just, them just having a really a great relationship. And I actually ended up playing for the same AAU team that he played for, the Columbus Blazers. So it was like things like that that really that kept me, that kept drawing my love and passion for the game, you know? Yeah. They were playing in the SEC, so my dad's, you know, they have a big game. I'm with him, staying up late at night, waiting for him to come home, and now I'm watching film, you know, like watching film with him. So, yeah, so like all that stuff for me started at a very young age, and then I was able to, yeah, just make that change at 12 and say like, hey, like, I actually want to do this, you know? So, yeah, that's when things really, really took off for me. And then this is where, you know, God continues to give us a lot that we're able to turn into blessings and like testimonies, and then it just becomes more bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
So the next, so yeah, that year, like after taking things seriously, it was great. I played for a couple of teams. You know, we were like traveling and all that kind of stuff was great. The next year, when I was 13, right before that, I was coming off this great summer. Like, so it was like going into my eighth grade year. So that summer, I remember going to Wild World of Sports. I don't even know if they still go down to Wild World of Sports anymore, but yeah, like it was just like a
that's
great.
That's where they do the AAU Nationals?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still there. Yep.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure. Yep. Yeah, man. So that was exciting. That was fun. And I actually remember, you know, my dad getting calls from other colleges saying, like, yo, like your son, like, you know, we want to take a look at him, you know? Like he actually might, you know, be a little something, you know? So like, that was great. And then 3 months after that, in October, I had my first seizure. And so at the time, the doctor, or like the nurse at the school didn't really know what it was. So he thought I had an asthma attack. And the week after, I had another seizure and it was at home. And this one lasted a bit longer and now my mom was able to see it. Mm-hmm. And we went to the hospital, did a little bit of testing, still didn't know what it was. And then, yeah, then I had my third one, and that was the one that it was in church. And man, like it was, I'm so grateful that there was a doctor that was in church with us. And as my mom would tell the story, she would say like, you know, someone pulled her to the side and said, ma'am, your son is having a seizure and I need you to get in the car and follow me to our hospital. And the hospital that she worked at was not the closest one. So it was like a little bit 20 minute ride. At the time, like I was seizing, so I think I remember falling asleep. But I get to the hospital and they give me something, but they gave me too much, so like that put me to sleep for like a week. Oh. So yeah, and man, like I can imagine being a parent and like your child is just, you know, out for that time, and really not getting a lot of answers. But what that did allow them to do is, you know, put me through a lot of tests, and they came back with that diagnosis of me having epilepsy. And that's when, yeah, this thing has became bigger than basketball, right? Like, things were just were not the same after that. I was the type of guy where I could play on the court all day long. When I played football a couple years before that, I played offense, defense, and special teams. Like, I was just, I was all over, right? All of a sudden, now I'm challenged. Like, I'm struggling to compete at the highest level for what feels like more than 6 minutes. Without seeing like black and like purple and white spots sometimes, or without feeling like, feeling like I couldn't breathe, you know? And it was a lot to get used to. And putting like the game aside, even when it came to school, I was able to take the SAT in middle school. I like to think of myself as a pretty smart person, but you know, I don't know everything at all.
Right.
But at the same time, I love learning, always have, and I felt like I went from that to now I need to go to another classroom to get extra minutes to take a test.
Wow.
And so it was like, man, I mean, shoot. Middle school is already kind of challenging a little bit, you know?
It is.
Like,
it is.
Everybody's going through changes, everybody's like changing or whatever, but that felt like I was singled out. It felt like I had a spotlight on me and everyone was watching me go through this entire transition of the guy that plays all the time and great to be around to now I'm trying to figure out how I can even keep up with everybody.
Do you know what triggered the epilepsy?
So, doctors over time have said a couple of things. One of them that's been like recurring is that I hit a growth spurt twice. So I went from, 5'7" to 6 feet. I went from like 5'7" to like, all I know is over the span of 2 years, I went from 5'7" to 6'2". So I was really tall in seventh grade. Like I was looking over my teachers, and that's when the shoe size, like it kept going up, right? Like my mom, man, she was a soldier that summer. Like a lot of shoes, a lot of jeans, you know, like high waters. Now they're like looking in style a little bit, but I just kept growing really fast. So like the brain developing that fast too. Some doctors have said that was part of it. Another one is just a combination of that plus maybe some other stressors that were like underlying. Recently I actually found out that there was like a benign tumor in my brain. It was like incredibly, not say small, but it was. When the doctors saw that in my, I forget which scan that was, they were like, okay, yeah, this is probably like the reason why, you know, you've been having like these challenges and why seizures may be related to that. So yeah, it's like all these different factors of how, you know, it happened. And yeah, just that whole journey, man, like it just kind of changed everything, right? But I tell you this though, my love for the game hasn't changed. Like if anything,
no, you could tell your energy about basketball is different than almost anybody who sat in this chair. Like you, when you talk about basketball, it like it jumps out of you, man.
Man, no, I appreciate that.
Is there. You spoke about those challenges, and like you said, middle school is a rough age where you're going through all types of pivots in your life. And you facing that at the same time, you know, what did you have for your emotional and your mental support during that time? And, you know, there's that, like you said, there's a reason you told us that, because God does stuff to position you for His glory, for the testimony that you're going to give. So, but during that time when it was dark, you know, what kept you anchored, and what was your support during that time?
Man, family. Family, because, I was still so young that, just didn't have a clue about anything, right? But at the same time, I was old enough to know this is not what I want. This is not what I want for my life. I didn't sign up for this. And ultimately, just wanted to be like everybody else. I wanted to be normal, is what I used to always say. Yeah. But my family, they've been such a rock for me to like get through that, to help me with those habits, man. Because like the medicine you have to take at the same time every day. Mm-hmm. So it was like, yeah, sleeping over someone's house, it was like, it became a challenge. Like just small little things like that, right? Yeah. That any young kid wants to experience and to have and to hang out late at night with their friends. For epileptics, that journey's a little bit different. I may not be able to handle going through the normal class day plus basketball plus homework plus hanging out with you guys. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it depends on the day, but it's like those types of things that felt like were taken from me and was filled with like that love and support from my family. They really helped me out with that. And of course, as I continue to play ball, because like doctors told me that that'd be the last time I'd play.
Yeah.
Any sports. So journeying through high school, it was of course, yeah, your teammates, being in the locker room, being around those guys, yeah. And all that was, yeah, like those small pivotal moments that continue to help me like get past it and keep going. You know, that and I'm not gonna lie, man, like just the competition, like just being able to compete, yeah. And challenge. It became more of challenging myself than it became of like trying to challenge everybody else from like what it was when we first started that whole, mm-hmm. that journey.
Yeah.
So yeah, those things all, you know, played a role.
Man, that's amazing. And what was, they said you couldn't play anymore, but you end up playing at a pretty high level and stay with it. How did you overcome that?
That journey led me to having to know my body a lot more. And then it gave me the discipline I needed so that was able to transition into basketball too. But I told my parents that I wanted to continue playing, and I'm not gonna lie, man, it wasn't easy. Yeah. There were times when I would unfortunately, because I was stubborn, man. Like, you know, it's the game that you love, right? Like, I had to tell coaches before playing, like, hey, I have this condition, and I still want to play. And some coaches, they were okay with that. Other coaches, they weren't as comfortable. Maybe a little bit was like the liability, or maybe it was also just that comfort level, you know, between like, yeah. Hey, I don't know if I want to be trusted, you know, the hands of your life or things like that. Mm-hmm. But either way, some coaches allowed me to continue playing. And whenever I got to the point where I needed to stop, I had to be the one to make sure that I communicated that to them.
Yeah.
So it made me accountable. So yeah, it was like all these types of factors that essentially continued to like transition into playing the game. And I remember getting to a point at Montrose where, yeah, I'm with my guys. Some of my guys are still playing, man, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like Jarrell Brantley, Pat McCall, and you know, Zoe, like my dad's talking about all these guys, I'm sure. But that year, it was a tight-knit group that was always in the gym, and I ended up committing to Cornell. And because, yeah, like I said, I love learning. Committed to Cornell, fell 1 point short on my ACT. Because I hadn't taken ACT or SAT the whole time in high school, because I took it when I was younger. So, yeah, like they asked me to take it because of, like their rules are different. I take the test, I fall 1 point short, but I end up going to prep school. And yeah, my dad always gave me something that stuck with me this whole time, and that's, you know, you can either get bitter or get better. So when I was younger facing those problems, like it was the same thing. And with this one, that hurdle, it was no different.
Sorry, I'm smirking because I hear your dad's voice. You either get bitter or you're bitter.
Yeah, exactly. So you know it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see one thing though. That dude is consistent.
Oh, no, nah, man. One of the most encouraging dudes I've ever been around, man. He got bars for days.
I'm telling you.
We're literally trying to pick clips out of what to post from the podcast that he did. And it's like, we don't even know where to go because it was so much good information.
Oh, man,
little puns and fire. He just spits fire, man. So.
Man, and that's what I grew up with. So, like he coached me my senior year at Montrose. Mm-hmm. So I was able to go to prep school.
What prep school did you go to?
Notre Dame Prep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, man. Yeah. So, they had a lot of guys come out of there who were pretty talented. But part of that whole process for me was, it was the mental aspect of it. So even though I had that support emotionally, I wasn't mature enough yet to have that confidence that's also needed. So when it came to work and all that kind of stuff, it was great, but anytime that I would get like a couple of coaches calling or get some letters in the mail, those things were great. When it came time to having these, like get to the point, yeah, like where they transition into an offer, I felt like, man, like they don't want to offer me because they found out about my condition. Mm-hmm. And I know it, I've experienced that before. And that's, yeah, like I need to be normal. I need to be doing something else. And long story short, I was left with a few options for college, scholarship. But ultimately, I chose to be a preferred walk-on at Virginia. That school, man, it felt like it was just amazing, man. TB, like he kind of teed it up for me really well. Like I went on a visit. And on that visit, I also saw like familiar faces, like guys from Georgia that I hoop with, like Evan Nolte, Malcolm Brogdon, Isaiah Wilkins, like who I grew up with. That felt like home. They had like an environment there that allows you to be yourself, maximize your opportunity, and at the same time set you up for life after sports. So chose to go there, and continue to balance that whole journey, at the same time. It was like, okay, but now, like, in this new role, I went from playing all the time to now, I'm in this new role to continue to support my team and all of that came with it, So it definitely, fueled another side of me. Every single step of this whole journey, man, just continued to, present itself in a new face, which I feel like in the grand scheme of things, like, has led me to this path, which is great.
You pointed out a couple of things: discipline, accountability, mental toughness, being a good teammate, all these things that apply to life and speak to whatever we do. Like, those are things that we have to be successful. So, you can tell your parents did a great job, your family did a great job of giving you that mindset to endure all those things. And I have to ask, because I always say, man, go where you're going to play. Why in the world would you not go hoop? So explain to me, I understand all that, in retrospect, looking at it, right? Did you know then that, were you the mindset like, I'm a preferred walk-on, but I'm about to take somebody's minutes? Or were you going there and knowing like, hey, I'm doing this because I'm sacrificing for the bigger picture?
No, I'm not going to lie. I was like, I'm going to take somebody's minutes.
Okay, cool. All right. As long as we got that, we good.
Man,
all right.
I was like, yo, I've been hooping with guys that have been playing at the highest level my whole life. I've been around it. I've been exposed to it. I was like, yeah. And plus, I like to work. I was like, okay, yeah. Like, we're going to make something happen,
Yeah.
And at the same time, I felt like it was the perfect spot for that to happen. Knowing that it was a system that I could understand, it was a playing style that I could adjust to, because my dad's super big on fundamentals.
Yes.
So those things translate into college easily, and Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna compete with the best of them and try to make it happen for myself.
Dope. Okay.
And ended up earning a scholarship. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, man. I don't know how much time we got. I try to skip through this stuff a little bit, but man, my third year at UVA, I wanted to play. That's when I had that itch. It was like, okay, yeah, now I gotta play. Like, I can't, you know, move it and all that kind of stuff. But my parents wouldn't let me leave. They were like, you can't leave this school without a degree. And you're almost done? They're like, yeah, not a chance. Mm. So what I did was I took twice as many classes to graduate early. So I took 50 credits.
In a year?
In a year. Yeah, I think I took eight classes in the fall and seven in the spring.
Oh, you wild.
Man, and I had like an internship, but I don't even know how I did.
And you were playing basketball still?
And I was playing, yep. I kid you not, God was holding my hand the entire way through that.
I just like the lack of excuses that you have is amazing, because these kids, I'm trying to do this in a positive light, but I don't know if there's any other way to say it. Like, man, you have a condition that you are not supposed to even be playing sports. You're playing at one of the top universities for basketball, in my opinion, with the coaching and every culture, everything that it has. And you're taking classes, seven classes, and have an internship. Yeah, man. Like, that's what this is about. Your love for the game exceeded all discomfort, all medical stuff. That's what the love of this game looks like. And that's what I want kids to be able to see and understand, that if you really want this, you really want this dream, you got to put down the video games, the fun, the being cool, the excuses of why you're not where you want to be. That's what it goes down to. And so you wanted to play. So your mindset was, I got to hurry up and graduate.
I got to hurry up and graduate.
So you take 50 units.
No, exactly.
Did you get straight A's?
It was crazy enough. So didn't get straight A's, but that was the best year I've had academically.
Whoa.
But I think, again, though, it goes to what you're saying. It's like the focus that I had to have, man, like that meant that lesson for that year, the lesson that was given to me was to be in the moment. And sometimes, like even now, I still try to balance that like everyone else does. But I think it was like that type of focus. I knew I had to be present in the classroom, because I didn't want to learn again after class for the homework. So I was like, no, I'm gonna learn now so I can get this, do what I need to do after class in that short time that I have, so I can then get back into the gym later after practice. And then I can also meet or like study for a test or do all these other things I need to do. But the moment I felt like I would take my eye off the ball, or if I let myself get too comfortable, you can easily see how taking eight classes, you get behind on one, you got to catch up, you get behind on another one, and now it's two, and then it's like, and then...
We do that with work.
Exactly.
We do that with work today. Like, that's where I'm at today. It's like, man, I got to complete this before I can get to that. And
yes. Exactly. Yeah. And this is something that I hope kids take away from this, is we all commit to something. So through that commitment, My teammates in practice, even though I wasn't committing on the court as far as playing time, they knew in practice I gave it my best, and I pushed them. I pushed those dudes. And if I'm distracted, or if I'm over here doing other things and I'm not able to be present with them, then how am I getting all of us better? Mm. And the same thing in the class. Like, I made a commitment to make sure that I graduated. If I'm not able to still fulfill these commitments, like, no one's trying to hear all the other things you got going on. Like, you got to really be in the moment and be able to maximize where you're at. And then when the next thing comes, like, then, you know, you can go ahead and maximize that one too. So, man, yeah, it wasn't easy, but it was a lot of good stuff that came.
Did you graduate after that year?
Graduate after that year. I did.
What'd you get your degree in?
Sociology.
Okay.
So yeah. Actually,
same. I got my degree in too.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Being able to see how people move in different environments. And then ended up going to an HBCU for a year at Maryland Eastern Shore. And yeah, so again, my story is kind of crazy.
Real quick, yeah. When did you earn your scholarship at Virginia? Did you earn a scholarship at Virginia after?
So I earned my scholarship in the middle of that year. So oh, in wow. January, yeah, in January, I got awarded a scholarship. And then, man, you know, like, again, great group of guys and coaching staff. They were going to do the same thing again for the next year. But again, like, I knew I wanted to play.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like, even that whole process, I also knew I didn't want to go to grad school because I was going to end up graduating in the middle of my last year. So I wanted to, get my master's as well. But, when it came time to those, like, exit interviews, that's I was like, yeah, I just want to see what I got, you know? I don't want to be 20 years down the road wondering how I'd feel. I went to HBCU, which anyone can understand. I went from PWI UVA to HBCU. It was just another adjustment, right? That was a great opportunity for me, though. And the weeks leading up to the season starting, I found out that I needed season-ending surgery on my knee. So I had to get surgery about 2 months after that. And while I was home, that was the big what if. Like, you know, like, damn, like, what if I didn't? What could happen? But, you know, yeah, you fall back on your foundation. You fall back on the things that you build along the way. And so I just started, I couldn't turn the camera off or the screen off. Like, I would be watching games, and then I would send messages to a lot of my guys that were playing. So, one of them playing in the NBA, and shoot him a text like, yo, like, you know, I feel like this is the reason why, you know, your shot's falling short on this 2-dribble pull-up. And he actually took the information. You know, I'm glad he did, because he was like, yo, you should get paid to do this. And so that's what it wasn't. No offense to my pops, man. He knows the story, but I didn't want to coach because I already seen it. But it was like a trigger to like, oh shoot, yeah, I guess I can do this, you know. And if I want to do it, I want to do it at the NBA level. I want to learn from the best and be around the best. That's when I became a GA at Miami. And I did take that mindset of like finishing early. Yeah. So I knew, like, I don't want to be a grad assistant paying for grad school for 2 years. So I took twice as many classes again and graduated in that 1 year in Miami. But
you got your master's?
I got my master's.
What'd you get your master's in?
I got my master's in liberal studies at Miami.
Okay.
They structured those classes really well for someone like me who just loves to learn. So I was able to sharpen my like critical thinking skills and ask questions to everything, but do it in a way where I'm solution oriented. So I try to find the answers to them too. It wasn't that bad, man. I was grateful to be given the opportunity to also be part of the NBA coaches coaching development program.
How did you get in that?
So that was through one of my family members who ended up knowing one of the mentors who ran the program. And, it was one of those like, you know, sit in the back of the classroom and just absorb the information types of opportunities. But all in all, yeah, I was able to get...
You was in the room, man.
Yeah, being a sponge for all that stuff, man.
This is the example of you using basketball, not allowing basketball use you. Somebody on our show just said this. Who was that? Khalil. Huh? Ryan Murphy. And then Khalil mentioned it too, though, right? But yeah, Ryan Murphy did make a point of that. We're like... You allow basketball to take you to where you are and to use these scholarship opportunities to get your degrees and get to where you need to be. And like following what life gave you, right? I talk about it a lot, like, you know, when we follow God and what he has for us, right? A lot of us try to like go on this journey instead of just walking with God, being in that moment, like, you found out that you can make money being a coach, watching film, by just being yourself and being you. You're like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Let me do this.
Right.
You just kind of roll with it. I think not enough people do that when they find something they're good at and they don't, or find something like a niche or find something that excites them. And like, hey man, just do that. Go ahead and pivot. It's okay.
Right, man. You know, I love this podcast, this show that you have here, because it does like create this space where at least it feels like I'm able to like reflect on these things. Because some of these things I even forget myself a lot of times. I think a lot of us on our journeys, we want to be as present as possible, which is great. But remembering those things along the way, to be able to use it for other people to, you know, like also learn from, just creates a cycle, you know, where we're just continuing to sharpen ourselves, but also sharpen other people, you know? So
that's what it's about.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about.
There's somebody in your situation. It may not look exactly like yours, but there's somebody, you know, has an injury, in a situation where they're not playing on the court and whatever it is, and how you've navigated all those situations and still wake up with the joy in your heart of the Lord and of basketball is amazing. Like, that's what this is about, is staying connected to this every step of the way. That's why I have this show. It's like, hey, everything, if I can't train anymore, hey, at least I could talk about basketball all day in a very productive manner. So it's about being connected to the game. So you went GA, University of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had an amazing basketball education as well. Let's just talk about your journey. Your pops.
Tony Bennett. Jim Larrañaga.
Oh, what?
Man, what? And then get this. It's the pandemic. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm about to graduate and I'm about to go and get straight to summer league and start connecting and get a job in the league, whatever. The pandemic came with that shutdown. And all of a sudden, all your plans that you thought you had was like, yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, yeah, you thought this was going to go this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remembered, just trying my hardest to keep sharpening my skills. But yeah, it wasn't until November. And it all came with just laying the seed, man, of just being, like you said, like myself. I like gravitating towards people. I like connecting a lot of people together. I like being the person that's the plus one or the net one in a group.
Yeah.
So I ended up meeting this cool dude, man, Parker Hines. That's my guy. I met him before I got to Miami and wanted to meet with him, just learn more about his position in the NBA and grow from there.
What does he do exactly?
So now he's actually with the Texas Legends.
Okay.
Yeah, on their coaching staff. And over time, just started building a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But long story short, that seed that I planted at that point, even though like, you know, those guys are busy in the league, you may not hear back from them as often as you think that you should, you know, like, cause it's like, I'm trying to, you know, get in. He ended up floating my name to another guy, Blaine, who's now an assistant with the Hornets. And like another brilliant minded guy. Like I've just been around brilliant guys and, he gave me the opportunity to interview for the Bucks. And so, in November is when I got my first opportunity to join NBA team. And it came with being with Mike Budenholzer and that entire staff with that entire group of players in that entire front office and won a championship that first year.
Of course you did. Of course you did. You know, after everything.
After everything, man. Like after the highs and lows, not knowing what's next, not knowing what's going on, really not knowing like, okay, is it worth it to pay for grad school? Just all these, the level of uncertainty that's there. You know, and then, man, God's like, don't worry, I got you.
Yeah, here's a chip.
You know?
Here's a chip.
What
did you do with the team exactly? What was your position?
So my position, I believe, was like video and player development assistant.
Mm.
So really just being the guy that's just around and available for everything. I remember Charles Lee mentioned that was like one of the biggest things, be available.
Yep.
So my job was to help them with workouts, help build scouting reports,
You do everything in that position.
Everything.
Yeah, people say it says video analysis, but nah, you literally do everything. Yeah.
Before I got that position, Blaine told me, yeah, you're going to get a PhD in basketball. And he was not lying, you know. Yeah. I say, even with that, though, which was, I've just been very fortunate. Like I told you before, my dad being around the game, for me at such a young age, my dad, like, he may not speak on it, but my dad was that dude in New York, too. And so he grew up playing the backcourt with, you know, Kenny Smith and, you know, all these other guys. We'll probably end up mentioning it later, but I had a coach, I remember telling me that, you know, he's put 10,000 hours into the game. And he's like, you know, soon, like, you'll get there. And for me, it felt like I'll probably get there, but I know I'm not that that far off, you
right,
know?
Right, right, right.
So it was just that being in a fortunate position, like you said, to come with three coaches that are very sound coaches, and then get to Bud and learn all that. I mean, this felt like, okay, yeah, I'm learning the best of this game, you know? So yeah, it was just a great opportunity, you know? And at the same time, being able to be around those guys that were playing, like, yeah, that's another part of it. Being around pros.
Yeah.
Like, I was around...
There's a difference. There's a difference from an NBA player and a pro. There's a difference.
I was around pros, man. Like, that was amazing. How it's their approach every day. It's the consistency. It's the mind, the will. There's so many different qualities that each guy has. And again, falling back on these degrees, I'm able to observe how guys interact in certain environments. So I'm the sponge in the background. Sure, I may be running around doing stuff, and the lessons I learned from, like, you know, focusing, cool. If I know that I can get my work done really fast and do it accurately, now I can go and, like, just start learning and just start observing all these different things. So, yeah, no, I got the front row seat. Awesome.
What's the most valuable thing that you learned from Bud?
From Bud? Oh, yeah. It's the attention to detail. Bud does not play with that. I definitely think it's a pop thing, like everyone from history. But I remember that this is very critical things that apply to life too. But I remember, I was up all night getting this scouting report done, and we put a lot of data on these scouting reports. So I added like a comma instead of a period, like, or it should have been a decimal. And Bud saw it, and that was like, he was like, yeah, like, basically, if you're not going to take the time to pay attention to all the small details of this report, why should I pay attention to the rest of it? Now, mind you, they still get their job done, right? Like, they right, definitely read the report probably like after or something like that. But that was a lesson for me. Like, it doesn't matter how fast you do something. It doesn't matter if you stayed up all night, you know, working on it, you know, perfecting your craft, getting it done, whatever. When you go from that to what you're presenting to somebody, that thing better be as accurate as possible. It better be meticulous about what you're putting together. Mm. So yeah, that was like a really dope lesson that I learned from him.
That's a lesson I just learned, man. No, it's for me, like, just in life, I'm very, what do you want to call it? Kind of go with the flow of things. I go hard. Like, I definitely have that energy, and I go hard at stuff, but paying attention to detail is where I probably lack the most on most things. On the court coaching, I don't. I'm very, very, very detailed when I'm teaching skill stuff, right? But just in life in general, like, I need to start putting the decimal where the comma is. And it was your quote. I don't use me, use his. I'm just saying that I need that, because that's I think it's so important. Like, just being, it's like what triggers in me is like being a father, like with my kids, is like, I need to stop putting a comma right there. Like, and just the way I work with people, I need to be excellent. That's, I'm called to excellence. And so
right.
these opportunities that I want to come to me aren't coming to me because I'm not excellent. I always believe that as you raise your level, opportunities on the level you want to get to come to you. Exactly. Like you did, man, you're an example of it, man. You just grind it and hey, I'm on an NBA team and we just won a championship because you raised yourself to that level and you accepted that without excuses and developed it. And so, So I'm about to crack open my my poppy.
Oh yeah, yeah. I need to get some of this too.
Yeah, you heard that perfect open. It's that cherry limeade.
This is infused with apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, and it's healthy. It's gonna make you poop.
Man, this is really good.
Am I allowed to say that, Karina? So yeah. All right. So. You win a championship or whatever.
Win a championship. Yeah, yeah. No, but hey, at the time, the pandemic, they had just opened up the arenas for fans to come in. Mm-hmm. Man, people should go back and look. It looked like the entire state of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. sorry. That's what I learned there, too.
What?
No, it's not Wisconsin, it's Wisconsin.
No, it's Wisconsin. You got to say it like T-Pain. Yeah. Karina, it's okay.
The entire state was there in Milwaukee. Like, there were, I don't know how many people fit inside Fiserv, but I know there were probably the same amount, if not more, outside. Watching these games. Man. And then it was, the parade was amazing. It was just, amazing experience. Those guys, I'm gonna hold on to more stories within that, but yeah, man, those guys, man, they are special. They were a special, unique group.
Yeah.
And then everything was off because it was like that playoff, that finals was later because we started the season later. Like they went from the bubble.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they went from the bubble to starting the season like November, December, I think. Mm-hmm. And summer league, I think I remember is like the very end of July. Mm-hmm. And I get the summer league, and now the league is starting to like trying to get back on normal time. So they're like, yeah, I went from summer league, ended up getting an opportunity to now be full time with the Trailblazers. So. I leave summer league back home and let my parents know, like, yeah, I'm moving to Portland. So, for me, man, like, my dad, of course, you know, coaching. I moved a lot. I moved to Atlanta, Auburn, at Montrose. I've been Rockville, Maryland, Virginia. But then it actually went from for my last year, Virginia, Maryland Eastern Shore. And then Miami, next year, Milwaukee, next year, Portland, next year after that, Los Angeles. So it was like, I didn't have these things right here would have been like, no, I'm not putting that up. I'm not putting anything on my walls, nothing, you know, because I know I'm probably gonna be moving in a year. But that time with Chauncey, that was dope.
Yeah.
That's another, I tell you, I've been around brilliant guys. That is a brilliant dude.
Yeah.
Like, of course, Dame, CJ,
Rogo. And so same role in Portland or a step up or what was it?
Really like the same role, but people should know every organization is different. How they structure their staffs are different. And within those staffs, the opportunities that you're able to get into are also different. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to, be one-on-one with a player in Milwaukee, but Portland offered that opportunity for me to like help players work out.
Who are your players?
So I would be, when I say that, let me backtrack a little bit. I was given a little bit more freedom. So some of the players though, they were Greg Brown, trying to think, oh my gosh, man, there's so many guys. GB
Portland,
man. And I see their faces, like KB is one of them. Jeez, man. all the young guys.
Got it.
All cool. the young
you
guys.
You got all the rooks.
So, yeah. So, it was really because of, you know, again, the coaching staff, you know, right. and the coaching staff, even though like they handled these players directly, they would be taking care of things or caught up in meetings, and they trusted me enough to say, hey, go run this workout, or yeah, like fill my time, or even, hey, like I want you to break down some of this film, you know, with this player.
Yeah.
So that was great. And man, like again, dope staff. Like, you know, being with coaches like Anisha Curry, you know, and Scotty B, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, Scotty, he's with the Lakers
now.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so like these different coaches, them around, sorry.
It baffles me that he is not a head coach somewhere. Scotty Brooks is phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, some of these guys, that's what I'm saying, man. It is that's another beast within itself. You got a lot of brilliant minded coaches that are ready to go.
Yeah.
You know? But again, like those things were examples for me too. Like got coaches like Hetz. Steve Hetzel just got the assistant coaching job with the Nets. But these guys, they showed me as a young guy, like, even though I want to keep moving and keep going and all this other, these other, you know, things, they want the same thing too, but they're professionals at being in, like, in their role.
Mm.
And that's something that I didn't learn until like the next year, and I'm in Los Angeles, or with the Lakers. Like,
so you were only with Portland for 1 year.
Yep, and then it was on the road again, man. Like, I was gone.
Okay, and so when you went to the Lakers now, what position? Same position again.
Same position,
but different.
Yeah. So even though these were like you can call them like kind of like promotions, ultimately for coaches, it's the same thing, you know, because you break them down a little bit into categories. You have front bench coaches, back bench coaches, the video room. So even though there might be a little bit of moving up in each funnel, or even some overlap a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Like ultimately, like that's kind of like what it is. And that's, yeah, like that's my role with the Lakers.
You're which one were you? Front, back?
Oh, no, video. Still in video room.
Still in video.
Yep.
And then, okay. And so what was the difference in this position from the previous two?
This position was now, it was a decision that I made because I knew I wanted to continue to get exposure. I wanted to absorb as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And, man, like being with Phil Handy, and being around, again, a different group of players, those were opportunities I felt like I couldn't pass up. And at the same time, it's also a different front office. So I felt like I wanted to continue to challenge myself in different ways. Because I knew for me, the goal was to really be in the front office.
Mm.
And go that route. But every organization comes with their different styles and their different markets. So it was like, okay, yeah, this is like kind of like a different type of global market, you know.
Yeah.
Like being able to learn how to get the job done when all eyes are on you, the pressure's on you every single night, and everyone has something to say about, you know, what you're doing every single day. I wanted to know what that felt like. I wanted to know how the players respond to that, how coaches respond to that, everybody, down to the security. Like how is everybody operating in this organization? Because I'm going to be awarded with the lessons that I can learn and take away from that to then give to someone else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like that's always something in the back of my mind.
You're a genius, man. I don't know if you knew this or if anybody ever told you, man. The way your brain works is amazing because it's not based on like knowledge. You love information, but you're using it to impact people, and you want to give it back, and you want to, like, it's for the right reason, right? There's a lot of people who want to have knowledge to just have power. And that's Adam and Eve in the garden, right? That's them going to the tree of knowledge, or the tree, and trying to get God's knowledge when they didn't even have to. It's more about having that knowledge and using it for what God wants you to do. And that's, man, you're doing God's work, man, by how you absorb information and want to be the best, but you want everyone around you to be good so you can learn from them, so you can give and reciprocate. And
it's that part, man.
Man, that's why you're a genius. Like, I don't know if you know a lot, but you also have a great understanding of how God has created us to use what we have to bless others. So
exactly. Yeah. Like I really want to, I'm glad you said that, man, because it feels like I'm walking in my purpose. And what I just had to learn recently was there's layers to that, you know?
Yeah.
So
what did you learn recently?
Yeah, so I learned that I wanted to, I got caught up a little bit with the coaching route. I did. I wanted to continue to go the coaching route and see how far I could go with that. But all of a sudden, it kept feeling like there was so much more that I could be doing. No, it felt like there was a deeper calling for me. It felt like my purpose, like God kind of revealed, like, okay, cool, now we got you to the next part of it. When I say that, how I think sometimes is in terms of you go from being a player to a coach, at least for me, and then it's like, okay, now it's like really like this next thing. And I found myself always being around groups of people and connecting them. And I continue to fall in love with development, like not even development of like the player on court, but like making it holistic where it's all for full circle. My strength coach at UVA is really the one that told me that taught us that. Mm. Like how you do one thing is how you do everything. You know, like it just all translates.
Yeah.
So, like that's kind of like the thing that I just recently kind of discovered was there's opportunities for me to really impact more people, but in a different way. And with that, you know, you talked about it before, like my passion for the game, like it just came with this whole back and forth of like this new kind of relationship that I had with basketball. That's like the biggest thing, knowing when to give your time to sit still and really be able to make sure that you're still following, at least for me, I had to make sure that I was still following the path that God's leading me, no matter how, you know, glorious things looked and how amazing things were. It was like, yeah, like, oh, I got to make sure that I'm aligned, yes. You know? So what I was left with.
Yeah. So where has that alignment taken you now? So you transitioned, so you were with the Lakers last year?
No, so
2 years
I was,
ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Okay. This last year, I was able to be more remote. I helped out with scouting and also was with the coaching development program with the lead from the league office.
Okay.
At the same time, yeah, you can't take me off the court, man. So I was still like helping guys out
right.
With skill development and player development. And now, yeah, like I really opened myself up to getting that opportunity to sit still a little bit more. I had a little bit more flexibility, and it was studying. I was studying.
Studying what?
So I was studying, for one, all the things that I've learned from these last couple of years, you know, like, cause yeah, like that was probably like the sixth move in 6 years, right?
Yeah.
So
you got to sit down and be still for a minute.
It had to sit still take up all of that knowledge and at the same time really be more intentional about my relationships with people. So some of my friends are playing and instead of like just catching up on other things, it was like a deeper conversation of, you know, like what are some of the problems that you're having, you know? And a lot of my friends are either playing professionally in different sports, whether that be with a major league like the NBA or the G League or overseas.
Yeah.
Or their siblings are also in different sports in college, high school. And I just kept observing a lot of trends, mm-hmm. observing a lot of trends, taking in a lot of information, and combine that with the things that I've already learned myself. And you mentioned it before about, you know, getting back to these young guys, and man, I have so much to say about the college space right now.
We'll do another show.
Yeah, we'll do
give me the 2-minute drill of what you feel about the college space.
Right now, it's the wild, wild west, and it like players should right now be themselves, more intentional about being in front of or being with the right people, instead of the flashiness of maybe the people or the things. Mm-hmm. And we're trending towards a level that comes with the stories and lessons learned, where some guys may end up losing a lot of money, go into bankruptcy, their career trajectory may end up changing a little bit because of the way.
We're not headed there. It's already happening. I know kids that is happening to right now, who are at the beginning of this NIL situation, and it happens fast.
It happens fast.
Like in a matter of months, you can be in over your head.
Exactly. So those are some of the things that I really absorbed, along with wondering why some of the guys that I'm playing or that I've played with or that I know are challenged with maximizing their opportunity off field or off court as mm-hmm. well. So I ended up wanting to create a solution for that. And so that's like what's led me down this path now of being more than a business manager and a player development coach. Those are some of the things that have led me to, like, you know, where I am today. So yeah, it's been really exciting.
Are you able to talk about where you're at today, or is it not time to disclose
for right now, I feel like I can say that I am a tech entrepreneur, and I'm building a technology that creates these solutions in an organic way for lasting opportunities for all of these guys in sports entertainment. And I'll leave it at that right now.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
no, I love that. We'll definitely be looking out for what that is. And yeah, man, I know you have so much more to your journey and stories for days. I think the highlights that the mentorship, the people that you've been around have just been like, which helps you along your journey, right? First off, your family, your parents have just built this strong base and this mindset that is crazy. Like, I hope my kids have the mindset that you have. I'm about to go talk to Brian right there. Like, yo, what'd you feed
Hey, Brian, yo, I'm sorry, man. Hey, I'm going to be good for you, though.
No, I'm about to find out what he was telling y'all, man, because, like, your mindset is amazing. And just how you can use this game of basketball to transition to where you are if you really taking the life lessons, and that's what you did. You've taken in every life lesson to get to where you are and developing something that sounds amazing for who you are and the people around you who serving the community that you serve. And so, man, that's what it's about at the end of the day. So,
no, I really appreciate that. Yeah. I feel like with this next thing, I'm definitely, I'm putting myself, as like the platform, if that makes sense. Like, it'll be me. Like the way I approach things, the way I think, and the problems that I want to solve will be like this new technology solution that hopefully many people will be able to enjoy. Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely, man, that's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing your story, man. And I do want to ask, how has your journey with epilepsy been now up to this day? Like, do you have total control of it? Like, where is it at today? Because you've been able to get through life like a champ, like better than most people too.
No, thank you. It hasn't been easy, right? But at the same time, the things I fall back on have allowed me to be able to walk these different paths. Right now, I feel like I'm in a good place. I had some challenges with epilepsy while I was still coaching, but you know, I'm in this beautiful place where I haven't had a seizure for over a year, which is
in the name of Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You say that, man. Yeah, it's a blessing, and I no longer take medicine for it, and will hopefully be able to continue speaking to others about this. You know, like there's a nonprofit that I'm a part of. One in 26 Foundation, that's going to add a sports twist to what we're doing in the epileptic space. You know, for
us. That's awesome. Beautiful, man. Amazing, man. You. We're gonna move
Thanks
on.
Thanks for the space, man. Like, opportunity to be able to talk about these.
Man,
things.
This is what it's all about, man. This is what it's about. We're gonna move to our next segments, man. Our first one is My Rushmore.
Yes.
Your top four. So, man, you've been around some amazing people.
Yes.
Your top four pros that you've been around, whether it's on the court, off the court, just amazing pros that you've been around.
My top four are, is definitely Dame, Bron, Dame, Bron, shoot, I can't leave out Giannis. Yo, four? Oh, man.
I think I know of one that I think you should say. I want to see if you say it, though.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to judge you if you don't say it. Oh, I'm going to judge you. I ain't going to lie.
Dame, Bron, Giannis. I'm gonna go with my uncle, man, Kenny Anderson.
Okay. Then respect. You didn't say him, but it's okay because Kenny Anderson's different. That's different. That's on a whole different level. Why those four?
Dame, being around Dame has taught me how to be consistent. This guy's mind, he's able to live his own life. And still keep his values right there in front of him, and you can see it in the passion that he has from it. You know, like he truly cares about his community. He really cares about his family and friends, and he really likes rapping. And like you know what I'm saying? And and be able to do that. You see the passion and love he has for the game of basketball. But yeah, his just everyday approach and character is what stood out to me the most. And I feel like he proudly puts his communities and networks on his back, like on his shoulders, and he's gonna like, I'm gonna carry that. Like I'm gonna make a way for you to be able to do what it is that you want to do too. Bron was like this supernatural guy. Again, favorite movie. So it was like that, just coming full circle, being able to be around him every day. That was a joy. That was something that, you know, obviously doesn't come to just anybody. So observing longevity, things that last. And even with what I'm doing now, I'm taking like skills that he has been able to do on the court to what I'm doing, because I'm like, I want to make sure my stuff lasts. Mm. So it's like, again, like all those types of things, the detail, it's the appreciation. Like, I appreciate my body, and that's why I take care of it in this way. I appreciate the love of my love for the game, and that's why I take care of it. Like, it's that. Giannis was the same thing, like carrying like his story and making a name for himself when no one decided or no one thought you could. And you know, you obviously see the same thing in all these guys, but Giannis is a guy that figures things out, and he knows what works, and I know what works, I'm gonna stick to that, and I'm gonna be able to do that in a way where no matter who I'm around like, I'm gonna always be true to me. Like, these guys, you see, like, they all have a switch because they're all beasts. Like, yeah. These guys, like, people don't really understand that Kobe quote. Like, are you the are different animal and the same beast? Like, for me, that quote hits different because it's like, are you sure you show up differently? Like, I'm in a uniform now, or I'm in plain clothes in another day, but am I the same beast? Like, am I the same type of guy of how I approach stuff? And I see that through Giannis. Like, is that guy, he's a genuine person who really cares about people. And yeah, man, like, going with KA, like, that's another guy who I feel like has done so much for the game of basketball, and for players than people realize.
Yeah.
And people really realize, you know? And again, they all kind of have the same types of qualities about them, like being true to yourself, and really having a knack for figuring it out. And yeah, like, my uncle has given me so many lessons that I was able to take. Even Smitty, man, like Kenny Smith, like these guys have given me lessons when I'm through my journey in high school and college and you know, coaching, yeah, that I've just been left with and am able to continue to, you know, like, pay it forward, you know, and give to others. You know, so, man,
that's
so yeah. Awesome.
No, that's a dope four. That's a dope four, man. The one I was suggesting.
Yeah.
Drew Holiday.
I knew it, man, because
I'm like, yo, how are you not saying Drew right now?
No, but for real.
I understand it, though, based on your life. Your life is, yeah, you've been around some amazing
No, for
guys,
real. So, Drew, yeah. Drew's the one that inspired me to grow my hair out. I used to have braids before this, man. Like, that's a dude, man. Like, again, great, high quality guys, man. Yeah. We can do that another time where I just, like, if any of you guys want me to brag on you, just know you didn't ask me. I know you didn't ask me. Like, these, I've been fortunate to be around some great guys, great yeah. pros. Yeah. You know, so yeah. So yeah, it's all love there. All
right. So my four, Bron, just his approach, his mindset, mm-hmm. his all-encompassing focus on being the greatest basketball player ever, and how he approaches it. And you know, we were born a year apart, so he's like my generation, we like the same kind of music. You know, just there's a presence about him, man, when he enters the gym. There's a presence about him. There's a seriousness whenever he's on the court. But then he's just a regular dude, man. He really is just a regular cat who just hoops, man, you know.
He is.
And so, yeah, Bron. Man, it's going to get tough. I'm around a lot of young dudes because I do the pre-draft mostly, so I just want to, I got to speak to that. Someone who's always just met, he's a really good kid, man, is Talen Horton Tucker, man. I love that kid, man. He's so humble, but works his butt off. He's just really cool to be around, man. Just shows love no matter what it is. And he asked about my daughter and son, like, stuff like that. Like you're saying, like, good people.
Right.
Great. And like, he wants to be great. He's doing everything he can to be where he needs to be. And so ever since I met him, he's been dope. Karina might have to help me here. I'm trying to think. Ah, man, I think I'm gonna have to say Dwayne Wade. Mm. Yeah, man, he's always been just information. Cool, just giving information and like, I learned so much just being in the gym with him a few times. This is after he retired, I was in the gym with him, but he was just giving game, and he's just, you know, it seems as if he is genuinely him. Mm-hmm. He's himself, and I can appreciate that about anybody, that he is genuinely him in this part of his life. And, you know, he talks about the mistakes he makes, but he still comes back to his family and, he still loves this game and, you know, building an empire on the side. Right. Like, he's doing all these things, and it's genuinely him. Who is my last one? You have somebody else to say?
Not my
four. You have your four? Yeah, okay, Karina, okay, yeah, Karina, cool. Go get her four too. And then, man, trying to think. Man, you know who I really like?
Yeah, talk to me.
Noah Clowney, man. That's my guy. The old man, OG, Noah Clowney, man. He's just an old soul, man. And he don't want to do nothing but hoop and take care of his family, too. Like he's so simple, but he gets to the work. And he's, like, he's just focused, man. That kid's going to be, he's going to be an all-star one day. I'm telling you, that kid's going to be an all-star one day. He's just, like, they're just good people. Like, you could feel, like, that's what I'm doing. Like, you can just feel how good they are from the inside out, man. Their base is strong. And so, and those are some dudes that I'm like, man, y'all could come over to the crib anytime and eat and chill. And, like, that's what it feels like with those people.
So. That's amazing.
Karina, yo for it. Karina wants to do her for it. She's been around the league. Yeah, okay, she's been around the league this summer, so.
I wanted to say Bron, but everybody's a Bron. But
it's okay if it's the truth.
Yeah.
Though,
yeah.
His work ethic is insane. Like, I'd get there 30 minutes early and he was already there.
Exactly.
Never wasn't stretching or wasn't like putting in some kind of like,
appreciation, yeah.
And he, like, as a female in sports, he also was very acknowledging and like respectful of like, oh, you're the videographer, like, cool, like, talk to the camera, engage with me. Didn't just ignore, like, oh, you're the camera. Which I'm sure he's like used to. But I didn't include him in my board, but I just want to say, like, you know. my first one was Dwayne Wade because that's been my goat since I've been little. And now I work with him, but I work with him outside on his like network. But I've seen him on the court now and it's like, dang, like, you actually know what you're talking about. Like, you're killer at this. And he's.
You're so cute that you're saying that about Dwayne Wade. Like, that's D Wade, but go ahead.
Do you? but I will say he's like one of the funniest people I've ever met. Funniest person that I work with. Like, I think that's super not acknowledged that this man's stories and the way he like delivers jokes in them, top notch. Like, he's funny.
Funny guy.
Yeah.
But DJ, DeAndre Jordan.
Okay.
He's in my top four just because he made me feel safe in the sports world.
Cool.
He gave me the confidence to be a like female in the sports world. So shout out to him because he very, very kind human being and like giving game to all the young guys. Loves all the young guys, messes with them, but like teaches them as he goes. And then Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson's everything. Presence.
Right.
He's funny, but he like, not even just like style. Like obviously he's killer on style, but he's learning and he's teaching as he like trains. Because it's kind of like each one teach one. So
right.
He's watching what somebody's doing, really wants to learn it. He'll like ask like, wait, what'd you do with your feet there? And like, we'll try to copy and we'll go back. And even when he like misses a shot, he smiles through it. Like I told him one time, I was like, I've never seen you upset. Like I've seen you like get like, dang, come on, Jordan. And he'll just like laugh and smile and walk away and like, nice play.
Right.
So I was like, I've never had seen somebody that's like just so happy, just present.
Man, I love that.
Yeah.
And Jalen Johnson, I think he's gonna be the next up. I saw his growth over the summer. It's absolutely insane. I think he's super underrated.
Yeah.
He put in that time. Those two workouts today, 6 a.m. Like, was on it and very, very focused.
Yeah. No, he's gonna be nice. He's killer at the end of the summer.
Man, it's cool seeing like the overlap. I think that's what. I really hope that these young next generation of athletes coming up realize is like there are more guys that have like the 6-7-0s in their bank account are super humble to themselves, family men, like you know, like just thinking with their right mind more than they are guys that are flaunting, wearing the flashy stuff,
right.
And going about their stuff. You know, like it's. It's more of that, you know, that I hope that they latch onto and see. Because, like, that's really what it is. It's like being able to get to that point and have that type of presence and aura for people to pay attention to you and be able to have us, talk about, it's great being around these guys, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I actually want to make a sub. I wonder if there's a horn button. But I'll make a sub on my Rushmore. I'm going to swap out GA. For T.A., his brother, Thanasis, his brother actually gives way more game than he does.
Really?
TA, what?
We got to talk about this.
Yeah,
though.
Like.
Hold on, man.
I'm telling
you. What do you mean give out game about life?
Both. I'm not even joking.
Okay, so, and this is not a knock. Yep. I don't knock any NBA player. Anybody who's in the NBA is top 450 in the world. I have so much respect. The things that you do on the court, though, that we as the people see, you gotta talk to me. Because he has a whole highlight film of bloopers.
I feel like there's something that comes with that, though. Like, mm-hmm. when I'm from playing to now being a preferred walk-on, I don't get any reps. I barely get any game
reps. Speed
of
the game, okay.
I really get to get in my bag or my feel like how I used to in high school. And mind you, yeah, like, he used to play overseas before he got to the league. Mm. I think, like, he even played against Luka when Luka was, like, 16, 17 when he was playing over there. But no, that guy gives knowledge. Like, he's a smart guy. But yeah, the things that I do hold on to, like, a lot are the off-court life lessons. Yeah. He's just, filled with game. And yeah, man, like, again, they have their own story to tell. But being around it and be able to, like, absorb it was great. That was great for me. Yeah.
That's dope. I like the sub. We might have to get a buzzer in here. I like that. man, our next segment, man, Fix the Net. A misconception about you that you want to make clear. So after you fix it, you can finish. Oh, you got to tell us first. Now we need a rewind button.
Oh, is it other way? How
you? Through the that way.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
He didn't mess up to fix the net.
My bad. Okay. So right, misconception about me. I'm just a player development coach, I like to have a good time. Like, I think that's like a huge misconception for me. I take learning seriously, and I do way more than just help develop players. Whether that be while I'm actually training, like in a training session, or again, yeah, all these different things that I'm working on. So, yeah, happy to give everybody out here a surprise with that.
Yeah.
Oh, hold
on. And now the net don't want to be fixed.
I gotta dunk that joint. That's why, you know.
Oh, man. Thank you for sharing that, man. I'm looking forward to seeing all that you are, man, with that.
Thank you.
And now we flip the script. Two questions for me. Could be about anything in the world.
Yes. Okay, so my first one for you is... how do you want to be remembered?
How do I want to be remembered? Mm-hmm. I want to be remembered as a man of God who walked in faith, who spread love to everybody, and helped people get out of their own way. Mm. Like, I want to help people realize their dreams. That's all I want. I want everyone to be, I want you to see yourself through everything you're doing and, you know, feel like you're living in your purpose. That's all I want. Anybody I come in contact with, from the kids that I train to the adults that I have in my life to my kids, like, I just want them to be the best, be their best self. And I want people, that's all I want to be remembered by, like, man, Todd really pushed me, or Todd really encouraged me, or Todd really... you know, like,
made that impact
to be the best you.
So. Yeah, no, I love that. You're doing that. You're definitely living in that. You know, and I can't wait to see like how that continues to unravel, like, and reveal itself.
Thank you.
No, for real, man. Like, that's something that I feel like I want to make sure that I'm aligned with too. You know, and a lot of people don't really realize on the other end of that, and maybe you can speak to this too, but I can feel that, and I'm left with something more that's lasting, you know, because of the things that you're able to give to me, just even this opportunity to come here on your show. Those are the types of things that I feel like surpass, you know, any type of dollar value or things that you can really, you know, give and share with somebody. So man, that's huge.
Yeah. Thank you. Terrence Howard said it great. And I don't know, he said this. He said there's a God in you that needs to speak to the God in other people. Not little G, but like the God.
Yeah.
Like that's who you talk to. You don't talk to the person. It's the God that's in you that's speaking to the God, you know, the spirit of God that lives in both of us. That's what I try to talk to. I try to be in meditation and prayer. God, what are you seeing? What do you want to say? Not what Todd wants to say. It comes silly. When Todd wants to say something, we laugh. Like that's what that is. But when God wants something, wants you to see a vision clear. Karina's over here crying again, y'all. When God wants to see it in you, it's like, that's what I want to speak to. I want you to feel that. So.
Okay.
Yeah, shout out Terrence Howard.
Right.
I hope you doing that, sir. But yeah, go ahead.
Second.
That was Todd, not God, yeah.
Second question is, travel, man. I'm a guy, I love to travel. Where in Europe would you love, like, your next travel destination would be?
In Europe specifically? I've never been, so I want to go everywhere. I want to hit one of them, like, you know, 2 week, 3 week joints where I'm hitting everywhere in Europe. I do not have a specific place. Yeah, literally all of it. All that. I want to go to every continent. Maybe not Antarctica, but I want to hit every continent. You know, me and my wife talk about it all the time. Once these kids get older, we can leave them and we go travel. they could come to some
wheels
of these
up.
Places, but right, wheels up, we out. But everywhere in Europe, I want to eat the food. I want to experience the culture. Like I don't want the you know, tourist thing. I want to go and like kind of just live, man. Go learn the language a little bit and go to the moms and pops places, man, just see the culture. Like I love, like you, man, I love understanding people and why they do what they do and you know, the difference in how we can improve based on what somebody else is doing. So yeah, man.
Cool.
Man, this has been amazing, man.
It has.
Man, I appreciate
it. Really
you.
Has, man.
You have a 24-second shot clock. That's your camera right there. Let the people know where they can find you. Social media, yep. Social media and any message that you have for them.
All right, cool. All my socials are spelled J-A-H-S-T-C-E. So hit me up, Instagram, not really on Twitter like that, but LinkedIn. Anywhere, come find me. Message I want to leave everybody with is continue to live in your purpose and live in the present.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you. Yes, sir.
That's it.
That's all we have for you today, folks. See you next time. Peace.